We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
My friends, is there really a place called heaven? What is heaven? Where is heaven? Is there any responsible being who does not want to go to heaven? May I tell you about heaven? May I tell you how to go to heaven? With faith in an eternal God, revealed in the Bible, and hope predicated upon the divine promises of His Word, I look forward to going to heaven. Don't you want to go there? Heaven is a place. Jesus promised, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Yes, heaven is a place. It is a place made by the hands of God and His beloved Son. A place which has been the center of faith and anchor of the soul for millions. There is no place on earth that offers such an utopia as heaven. Such a place must be prepared. To reach heaven, men and women through the ages have devoted their lives to this one all-important attainment. Hundreds of thousands have endured persecutions, and many thousands have sacrificed their lives to go to heaven. Others have lived lives rich in experience, full of joy and gladness as children of God, while journeying to that home of greater riches. Don't you want to go to heaven? Do you ask where? Well, heaven is there. It is a place only for the saved, and it is just a little way. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the apostle declared in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. Heaven knows not time. Time is without beginning or ending in eternity. And the apostle said in Philippians 1, 21 through 24, "This is far better." Heaven is some definite place, not just everywhere in general, or just a state of mind. The prophet declared that heaven is God's throne and dwelling place. He said, "Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts." Nehemiah 9, 6. In Hebrews 8, 1, it is revealed, "This is the sum which we have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." Heaven is used in the Bible in closely related senses. The earth's atmosphere is referred to as heaven. God gave you rain from heaven, it is said in Acts 14, 17. The heaven of the stars is evidently another region, yet unknown to man. Below the heaven of our God, as revealed in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. But such reference to heaven do not refer to the heaven of God's abode, prepared for the saved. You will remember that Christ promised, "I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus arose in a body and ascended up into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God, as revealed in Luke 24, 51, Acts 1, 9, 11, in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. The inspired apostle declared that Christ is there to appear in the presence of God for us, forever interceding for us. Hebrews 7, 25 and 9, verse 24. When Stephen died, the heavens were opened, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Acts 7, verse 55. The inspired description of heaven leaves no doubt that heaven is a place, a prepared place for a prepared people. The Apostle Peter wrote, "Nevertheless we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." 2 Peter 3:13. John the beloved apostle, while on the Isle of Patmos, for the testimony of our Lord, was permitted by divine interposition to see the prepared city for the saints of God. As in other matters, he was enabled to lift the veil of future scenes of time and see the city of God, a real place, an eternal abiding place for God's people. By faith, let us, with John, visit heaven. Surely you must want to go there. We talk about heaven, sing about heaven, and pray about heaven. But do you ever stop to think, what will heaven be like? What preparations must I make? The Bible says much about heaven. The Bible says that heaven is as a bride prepared and adorned for her husband. It is said, as a bride adorned for her husband. The adornment of a bride is most beautiful, perhaps never before or afterwards, so beautiful. Not only the husband, but every witness looks upon the beautiful bride in such beautiful, attractive adornment with adoration. The prophet of God suggested centuries ago that hardly would a bride forget her attire, Jeremiah 2, verse 32. The attire may be often preserved in tenderness and care for heirs of a family. How beautiful and precious indeed. John the Apostle saw heaven prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, Revelation 21, verse 2. Faithful and detailed preparations are usually made by a bride for her husband. Her adornment is very special. In preparing for heaven, responsible beings must adorn themselves with the doctrine of Christ, as affirmed in Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. Obedience to the gospel of Christ is essential to salvation. Read very carefully Mark 16, 15 and 16, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and Hebrews 5, 9, and 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10. A mere profession of religion is not enough to attain the goal of heaven. The adornment is essential. Hear the inspired words of our blessed Savior. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many mighty wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. If we want to go to heaven in preparation, we must obey the Lord's will, properly adorn ourselves in garments of righteousness and truth. How beautiful heaven must be as a bride adorned for her husband. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Heaven is a great city, a new city. Not only a new city, but the greatest ever contemplated by mortal men. Couched within these sparkling gems of eternal truth is a glimpse of something new and glorious. A new heaven and a new earth. The holy city, New Jerusalem. How eager is mankind for something new. Children may be thrilled with a new toy. Adults may be thrilled to make a new toy. Own a new car, build a new home. Usually, if it is new, we are interested. All cities of this world have their problems and difficulties, often plagued with crimes of all kinds, sins and iniquities of mortal beings, but not so in this city being prepared by our Savior. John the beloved apostle refreshingly affirms in his description of this new city that it is a holy city. The vision John saw associated the city of heaven with the city of Jerusalem. Surely because of the importance of this great biblical city and its nearness to the hearts of millions, the Spirit gave this graphic description of the eternal city, the New Jerusalem, to encourage us to go to that wonderful city of our God. A place will be prepared for every soul who prepares to go to heaven. There will be room for everybody. John even describes the size of heaven. Big enough to include everyone saved and restricted enough to exclude all the unsaved. The heavenly message affirms, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abomination, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21, 7 and 8. The newly prepared city of heaven will be just the right size, large enough for every responsible soul that obeys God. The description and size of the heavenly city are found in Revelation chapter 21. Hear these divine words. Are you listening? And he carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, as it were a jasper stone, clear as crystal, having a wall great and high, having 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east were 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that spake with me had for a measure a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the walls thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length thereof is as great as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and the height thereof are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the building of the wall thereof was jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto pure glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jadeite, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the several gates was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as were transparent glass. Regardless of the size, we can be sure that the divine architect will make no mistake. There will be room for everyone, no room shortage. Neither will there be any emergency housing after the judgment. We just want to be sure to be prepared for that prepared place, the new, glorious city of our eternal God. From this divine description of heaven revealed in Revelation 21, we learn that heaven is an incomparable holy city. Perhaps you have a mental picture of many great cities of the world that you would like to visit someday. But no earthly city can be compared to that heavenly city. Heaven is a place worthy of all costs to reach. All the great cities and attractions of all the world, all the places of beauty, peace, joy, happiness, and riches of the entire world, they are incomparable to the majestic beauty and perfect place called heaven. I have seen the beauty and attractions of the cities of New York, London, Jerusalem, Tokyo, Rome, the Alps in Switzerland, the plains of the Jordan, the hills of Galilee and Jerusalem are inspirational memories long to be cherished. But the thought of going to that eternal city of the celestial beauty, whose builder and maker is God, quickens one's spirit with earnest expectations of joy and happiness yet unknown. Heaven is a city that lieth 4 square, with walls of jasper, some 200 feet high, and 1,500 miles long. The walls run north and east and south and west. On each side are gates of pearl that never close. This great celestial city, according to divine measurements, is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. The 12 foundations of the city are garnished with all manner of precious stones, the Bible says. This beautiful city 4 square, whose builder and maker is the divine architect, has been the objective theme of the great poets and inspirational tongues of master orators. Yet, if all the majestic beauty couched in superlative expressions of the poets, and all the inspiration revealed by the tongues of orators were combined into one masterful description of heaven, such human attempts to present a picture of this eternal city of God would fade into less than nothingness. When compared to the actual joy and beauty of this celestial city that awaits the saints of God. Heaven is a place where you must go, else the millions of ages of eternity will never fade the regrets. What a beautiful city is heaven. John furthermore describes the heavenly city, saying, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruits every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. "The hunger of the saints shall be satisfied by the fruit of the tree of life, which is eternal, forever. And the pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, will be the superlative satisfaction of thirst. A great multitude will be there," the Bible says. "Then the mighty chorus and angelic host will sing a new song before the throne of God. On that day the multitude will cry with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb.'" Heaven.